Today, the fourth Sunday of Easter is called Good Shepherd Sunday. The image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is one that gives us great comfort. We think about Jesus leaving the 99 sheep to go find that one that wandered off. We recall pictures of Jesus rescuing the lost sheep from that dangerous cliff, or Jesus carrying the lost sheep on his shoulders. Or maybe we think about Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters, your rod, your staff, they comfort me." These are very calming images, and it's comforting when we hear Jesus refer to his disciples as sheep, saying, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." But Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd. Does that mean there were bad shepherds? In fact, that was one of the points that Jesus was making. In this part of John's gospel, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. His disciples were probably also there, but these words were directed at the Pharisees. He said, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." By contrast, the Pharisees were like hired hands who do not own the sheep and who run away when the wolf comes. So while we listen to Jesus calling himself the good shepherd, we get these warm and fuzzy feelings. The Pharisees knew exactly what Jesus was saying to them. Jesus' statement was pastoral, but it was also political. The shepherds, whether good or bad, had power over the sheep, but they exercised their power differently. The power that Jesus had was the power of invitation, not the power of domination. Most often, his audience was the poor and the powerless. He fed people with loaves and fishes. He raised them up with his teaching, always using common symbols like sheep, shepherds, grains of wheat, wayward children. He used these symbols to show them how much God loved them. And of course, he ultimately laid down his life for his sheep. The image of rescuing the lost sheep is a powerful symbol of Jesus' mission. You recall when the scribes and Pharisees complained that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, and Jesus responded. He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." So looking out for the lost and the poor was one of the strongest, most consistent themes of Jesus' ministry. And it wasn't just his words. It was also his actions. Many of those that he healed were outcasts, like the lepers who were shunned by society, or those possessed by demons. By contrast, the Pharisees separated themselves from the sheep who were struggling. They saw themselves as being superior to them. The love that Jesus had for the poor and the sinners runs all through his teachings. When talking about feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming strangers, visiting those who were sick or in prison, Jesus says, "Just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." He said, "Blessed are you who are poor, who are hungry, who thirst for justice." Jesus told us that parable about the rich man who ate sumptuous meals, and then Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to eat the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. And we know what happened to both of them. Lazarus went to heaven, and the rich man didn't. Jesus told a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee bragging about his holiness, and the tax collector afraid to even lift his eyes to heaven. And Jesus told us that it was the tax collector who went home justified. He said that those who became humble, like a powerless child, would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, who held all the power in the universe, surrounded himself with the poor, the sick, the outcasts, and the sinners. He served them and he loved them. Can we do anything less? From the time Pope Francis was inaugurated 13 years ago, he continually focused our attention on those at the margins. Some criticized him for that strong emphasis. After all, you can't advocate for the poor without criticizing the political and economic structures that lead to and perpetuate poverty and inequality. And Pope Francis did that. And many think that religion should keep its nose out of politics. I think Jesus would have sided with Pope Francis. And I'm comforted to hear the words of Pope Leo XIV. He sounds like one who will continue Pope Francis' focus on the poor. And I'm sure he will be criticized by those who focus only on themselves. This is already happening, if you read the news. Many would rather judge those people at the margins in society than to reach out to them. He's poor because he's lazy. He should just get a job. If she didn't use drugs, she wouldn't be living on the street. Why can't she just pull up her socks and get straight? Those people are in jail because they did bad things. They're horrible people. They deserve everything they get. I can't worry about those people in developing countries. I have mouths of my own to feed. There are kids in my school who never wear stylish clothes. I'm not going to hang around with them. Have you heard people talking like this? Have you said these things yourself? Do any of these things resonate with you? Can you imagine any of these things coming from the mouth of Jesus? You remember that sheep that wandered away from the flock, the one that Jesus, the good shepherd, left the others to rescue, that cute little sheep? Well, that cute little sheep had misbehaved. It wasn't supposed to wander off. It was its own fault that it was in trouble, wasn't it? Why did the shepherd even bother with it? Shouldn't Jesus have just let it get eaten by the wolves? Was that Jesus' attitude? Of course not. And it shouldn't be ours. Each of us has power. We have power because we have money, or maybe we have some position in the community or an organization, or maybe we're the head of a family or the leader of a sports team or a teacher, or maybe just some really smart person. Perhaps we have a valuable skill, or maybe we have time that we could make available to someone in need. The fact that we live in one of the wealthiest countries in the world gives us power, individually and collectively. Jesus gave us two examples of how we can deal with power. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, or the Pharisees who chose to isolate themselves from the sheep, especially when the sheep were in trouble. We've got a small group in the parish who regularly visit the Edmonton Young Offenders Center, essentially a prison for young people. Many of these kids have suffered severe trauma in their lives, and many have caused severe trauma to others. But when you talk to our parishioners who go to visit them about their experiences with these young people, they just smile. They see it as a privilege to get to know these kids. They don't judge them. They see good in them. And several times a year, members of our parish visit the Everglades Special Care Lodge, a facility that cares for adults with mental illness and addiction issues. And many of these people have been forgotten by their families and friends, but not by us. The Catholic Women's League, the Knights of Columbus, continually find ways to reach out to the least of our brothers and sisters. When calls go out for things like winter clothing or supplies for that local women's shelter, we saw huge piles of donations at the back of the church or in the coat closet down the hall. One of our young parishioners has organized a group that brings meals and goodies to the people living on the streets in downtown Edmonton once a month. They've been doing that now for several years. Last week, a number of our parishioners participated in the March for Life, an activity meant to influence our politicians who are perpetuating a culture of death. This is only a small sampling of the many ways that we reach out to those at the margins as a parish, and as individuals. I tell you about these good shepherds among us to let you know that we are meant not just to admire Jesus, we are called to imitate him. We're so often told that we don't measure up to the expectations of our Christian faith. Well, sometimes we do.